Making the digital world more accessible means building it from the code up. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. There are lots of ways to make websites and apps more accessible for people with disabilities. And yet, when many people go online, features like signups and checkout forms and interactives simply don't work with assistive technology. One person who's been studying this for years is Joe Devon. He's the co-founder of Diamond, a digital design company that builds accessible websites, and which, for the last few years, has reviewed the top 100 websites, according to Alexa, to check how accessible they are. This year, they also reviewed the top apps on the Apple App Store and Google Play. Joe says accessibility starts with the basics.
If you're a designer and you make an app like, let's say, Slack or Skype, where you have an online-offline indicator, the original way that a lot of folks would do that is they would create a red or a green button that would indicate online or offline. So if you pay attention to accessibility, you will know that a colorblind user sees that red and green as gray in both cases, and they won't know the difference. And if you build it accessibly, all you have to do is add text and not use color alone to convey information. So you would say online next to the green, offline next to the red, and now you are accessible. So there are lots and lots of examples of that nature that make it accessible, and it's really just usability, but for more people.
Your company released a state of accessibility report evaluating how accessible certain websites and mobile apps were. What did you find overall?
First of all, that for once we can take a look and say, wow, there has been a significant improvement. The pandemic really proved the importance of accessibility, and the companies certainly at the top have responded and responded quite well. The downside is that we found that free apps did quite a bit better than paid apps. And what that really shows you is as soon as you get out of the top, the largest companies with the largest audiences, there's a significant drop off in terms of the accessibility.
Can you give some examples of how color and alt text are or aren't showing up on some of the most popular websites online?
Color contrast would be if you take, let's say, a gray on white, the contrast isn't high. And when you're in your 20s and you have perfect vision, for you, you might not even notice it. Or if the font is very small, you might be totally fine with it. And then alt text is if you have an image and you're blind, you need to have alt text that describes the image. So 24% of websites did not have or had issues with their alt text.
How challenging is it to fix these types of issues when a site wasn't built accessibly from the beginning?
It can be very challenging depending on the issue. So if you take something like orientation, imagine that it's a four-year-old app that has all of this code behind it, maybe millions of lines of code, and you've only created, let's say, a vertical video, and now all of a sudden you need to do horizontal video, it can impact lots and lots of code, tens of thousands of lines, if not more. So if you built that in when you were first creating the app, it's going to be far easier than trying to add it in afterward. So certain things definitely would require a lot of work. The color contrast is one example where if your logo and your entire company's color palette is inaccessible, there could be a tremendous amount of work to change that.
And cost.
Yeah, absolutely. But if your base is okay and then you just have certain places where you need to change it, it might not be as bad.
Joe says while companies bear most of this responsibility, the rest of us can make our personal content more accessible with simple steps like adding alt text when posting photos or other images on social media. And now for some related links. The full State of Accessibility report from Diamond lays out the exact methodology used to test the websites and apps, including checking whether someone could tab through a form to sign up for something rather than use a mouse, or if the page had meaningful alt text for images. We'll have a link to that report on our website, marketplacetech.org. Joe also mentioned the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines. Those come from the World Wide Web Consortium and set some digital standards for both websites and apps when it comes to accessibility. We'll have a link to those guidelines as well. Businesses can be sued if their websites aren't accessible, which is happening more and more in the U.S. Fast Company has a piece laying out 8 steps companies can take to improve their sites and apps, including regular testing for accessibility and providing multiple methods of user feedback. And the consequences for an inaccessible website can be severe, sometimes putting people's health at risk. Last week, the Department of Justice reached a settlement agreement with the grocery chain Hy-Vee, requiring it to make its COVID-19 vaccination portal more accessible. According to DOJ, some people using screen readers or trying to use the tab key instead of a mouse were unable to book appointments on the site. This is the department's second settlement like this. Rite Aid reached a similar settlement last month because its website also made it difficult, if not impossible, for people using assistive technology to sign up for vaccines. Under the settlements, both companies have to update their sites to meet those web content accessibility guidelines I mentioned earlier, plus regularly test for any problems and fix them right away. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.